in 2001, I was doing it a little bit tough. A few things were coming to a head. And a friend of mine suggested that I get myself off and maybe do a retreat. So I took his advice and I went and did a 10-day meditation retreat. It's called Vipassana. And it's been one of the most important things in my life. It's led me to meditation. I mentioned in a previous audio boo how getting rid of my TV was probably the most important thing I've ever done in my life, and I think it is. But it's probably equal to meditating regularly. I haven't meditated regularly for that entire 12-year period. For many, many years, it was just a random thing. If I was doing it tough, I might sit on the stool for a while. But for the last couple of years, I've been meditating every morning for at least 20 minutes. And now I'm not talking about absolutely every morning. Again, it's the old moderation and everything, including moderation thing. I sit on the stool probably 13 out of 14 days. Something will happen in my life where it just won't work out occasionally. But you know, I'm very dedicated to it, and I'll get up a lot earlier than I need to during the week and sit on the stool, because I've seen the benefits. The very first benefit was, excuse me, back in 2001. Yeah, no, I actually did the meditation course in 2000, end of 2000. It was 2001. And what it was, my sister died in a horse riding accident. And it was, well, as you can understand, pretty catastrophic for the family. And I remember using the principles that I'd learnt from having done Vipassana in dealing with that crisis in our family. And more importantly, I used those principles after we had buried her and we had moved back into our life. And frankly, I have suffered very, very little because of it. I watched my mother go through turmoil for years, and I saw Dad struggle a great deal, and even my sister. But I suffered very little, and I suffered very little because I took the one principle that I learned from it, and I used it, magnificently, and that was just to be in the moment, just to be aware of this moment right now. And as I did that, I stayed safe. I remember driving my car through Toowoomba, and I remember feeling this overwhelming sense of grief well up in me, because I was thinking about what it would be like to not have her, or what could have been, or the possibilities of our future together as a family. And I became incredibly upset, and I'm sure if you've had death in your life, you can understand that point. But what I did is I planted myself back in my body, sitting in my car driving, and I went, it's all okay. And that's what I've learnt as a way to live. Now, I don't think about that, and that's not the point of this audio boo, is to go on about that particular benefit, which was staggeringly wonderful. And I've used that many times to get myself out of difficult situations, emotionally get myself out of difficult situations. But where I've found the benefit has been in much more subtle ways, and it's really only been in the last couple of years. Just a bit of background. Vipassana comes out of Buddhist traditions, and basically it means what's been commonly referred to in the West in the last few years as mindfulness, and that's all it is. When I went off and did the course, I remember going up to Pomona, which is up on the Sunshine Coast, just north of Brisbane here, and arriving at this centre, and we sort of, everybody met each other, and then we separated into men and women, and then we departed that room where we were in, got some very, very basic, you know, instructions, like now we're about to start, and we headed off to the meditation hall. And from that point onwards, we did not speak for 10 days. It was a silent retreat. But more importantly, it wasn't just not speaking, it was not communicating. It was no non-verbals as well. I remember standing at the doorway to the toilet shower block, and somebody came to the door, and I opened the screen door and let them pass through, and then I went past, and I did not acknowledge their existence, and they did not acknowledge mine. we knew that we were there. We had made room like passing shadows, but we did not acknowledge each other. So there was no non-verbals. I didn't even know who was my bunk buddy in my room for 7 days. If I had had to have pointed him out, I would not have been able to identify him because I hadn't actually seen him, even though he was in my room for 7 days. And that disconnection from other people causes you to be very mindful, which is the exercise. I found it very difficult. I found the first few days incredibly boring, just mind-numbingly boring, sitting on the stool for 6 hours a day. And I remember going up to the teacher, which was the only time you were allowed to communicate, was to ask questions of the teacher, and asked him, what should I do about the boredom? And he just said, just follow your breath. No, that wasn't the answer I wanted. I wanted instructions. I wanted stuff for my mind to think about. And that was the very point of what he said. Just follow your breath. Just observe your breath. But it did work. Come day 7 or 8, I started really getting it. And something shifted around that time. And by the time it was all over, I was feeling, blissed out. It was great. And I was elated by the time I finished Vipassana. And then I've used those basic principles in my own life of just following the breath, of just being present here and now, just accepting the situation as it is, and just, the benefits have been just amazing in my life, and very subtle benefits. Like I'm finding that without really having done anything about it, just sitting on the stool means that I'm more considerate of other people. I'm more empathetic and compassionate. I notice that when I'm talking to somebody, I'm not thinking as much about my answer and my retort. I'm actually listening to them and I'm hearing what they have to say. And I don't have a problem if they say something that's really good or relevant or, more importantly, contradictory to my opinion. I have no problem in saying, good point. That's right. You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I have no problem. That's now an easy step for me. And this is because I just sit on the stool every day. I find that I'm noticing my world a lot more. I'm more aware of the little things that are happening in my world. The days don't just drift by. And there are all these subtle, really very, very subtle benefits that are hard to identify because they're not a big deal. But when they're all included in my life over a day, a month, a year, they are significant. There's a certain calmness, a certain less worry, less stress in my life. And it all becomes because I sit on the stool. Now, the discipline is to basically be aware of your thinking, to be mindful, to follow your breath, to observe when you drift off in your thinking away from following your breath and bring yourself calmly back to your breath. It's very easy to get hung up on that discipline and say, I'm not doing it very well. And I can tell you now, I'm not very good at doing it. My mind drifts away all the time. If I can hold my attention on my breath for any length of time, I'm really happy. I think at best I can hold my attention on my breath without thinking for maybe 2 seconds. That's all, just 2 seconds. And I'm really happy about that because a couple of years ago I could probably only do it for half a second before I would start thinking about something. I'd go, oh, there's my breath, and oh, yeah, I'm observing my breath, so that means I'm really, no, I'm not, I'm thinking again. To actually be in that void of just observing my breath for 2 seconds is a major achievement for me, and that is only 2 seconds. So out of 20 minutes, I probably am only on task for a minute or three. So I'm really bad at it technically, but from what I understand, having listened to some teaching on this, that's not the goal. The goal is to keep coming back, to keep coming back, to keep coming back. It doesn't matter if I drift off. I've just got to keep coming back. And every time I come back to my breath, every time I come back to being centered, I'm getting better at it. And it doesn't matter how many times I do it, 10,000, 100,000 times, it doesn't matter. Just keep coming back. And that is where I think the discipline is coming with its benefits. I keep coming back and my life keeps getting better in ever so subtle ways. At the end of last year, I heard, no, not last, yes, end of last year, somebody said, oh, I can't believe it's November already. Where has the year gone? Sound familiar? And I went, yeah, hang on. Yeah, it's the end of the year. Actually, now that I think about it, this has been a really long year. And I thought to myself, last year, 2012, and I'd been meditating every single day for all of that year and probably a little bit of the year before. I can't actually remember when I got back into meditating every single day. I think it's now been 2 or 3 years. But last year, 2012, I reckon took about 18 months compared to all the other years, compared to what I'd been feeling for the last several decades. I've heard somebody say that one reason why a year takes a long time for a four-year-old is because it's a quarter of their life. But for a 40-year-old, it's a 40th of their life. So a year is a much smaller part of your life once you get older. So therefore, in comparison to the rest of your life, it goes by very, very quickly. And I've always thought that might be correct, but now I'm starting to wonder if it might be different. Maybe now it's not that. What it is when we're a four-year-old, we're observing everything. We're in wonder of our entire life. We see and feel and smell and touch everything that we have around us. So we're in wonder of our entire life, every moment of every day. So it takes forever for a year to go by. Whereas now we've got mortgages and we've got relationships and we've got children. We've got to make some money. We've got to pay off debts. We've got to get somewhere in our careers. We've got to get the stuff of our life. And the years go by so fast because we're actually not watching our life, our time here. We're not observing, we're not being part of it. We're just living through it. And all of a sudden, come December, it's like, what happened to the year? Because I've been sitting on the stool, when I drive the car to work, you know, it's only driving the car to work, autopilot. Yes, I'm on autopilot like everybody else, but I seem to have just a very subtle clarity of what I'm doing. I'm just observing it a bit more when I'm making something at work or if I'm editing a podcast episode. I'm just noticing the subtleties of life, just that little bit more. And this year so far, here we are sitting in July 2013, and I hear people saying, I can't believe it's July already, and I go, yeah, it's July. And this year has already taken over a year for me. I feel like this is already sitting on about 13 or 14 months in these 7 months. My life is going by slower. And this is a subtle benefit that I had no idea of. Within the Buddhist traditions, they say there are three ways of doing Buddhism. There's the religion, there's the philosophy, and there's the science. I don't care about the religion. That's for the Buddhists. That's for the Dalai Lama and all of his priests to worry about. I care very little about the religion. I honestly don't even know what the religion is. But the philosophies, I do dig. And the philosophies are really simple. Go and live your life. Observe what happens. And if it doesn't work, well, here are some ideas that maybe you can use. And these are the teachings of Buddhism. And the teachings are really simple. They're just things like be good to each other and observe what's going down in your life. Yeah, there are lots of stuff. You can go dig into them if you want to. But, you know, it's basically that. You know, the world is tough and there is a way out of it, you know, and you can be really happy. Go and see if it works for you. And if it works in your life, well, maybe you can embrace it. And that's the science of Buddhism. Test it. Test it in your own world. See if it works. And if it doesn't work, disregard it. And if it does work, well, maybe you might want to incorporate it because then you'll be happier. I'm going to include in this audio boo a couple of links. I listened to a dude out of California. He's a Buddhist teacher over there. His name's Gil Fronsdale, and he operates out of a centre in Redwood City, and I'll give you some links for that. He's also got a podcast, which I listen to a fair bit of. I get them as on my iTunes account. It's called Audio Dharma, if you want to look it up in iTunes. I've also discovered fairly recently, I don't use it, but I did initially test it out just to see what it's like, and it's an iPhone app to introduce people to meditation. It's not Buddhist, I don't believe. It's just called Calm. And it has some very good white noise atmospherics, storms, wind, things like that in the background, and a bit of a guided meditation. And when I heard it, I thought, this is excellent. This is a really good introduction for anybody who might be interested in testing the waters of meditation. I don't listen to it simply because the guided meditation part of it I don't need. You know, I can get myself to that place without that. And I'll also include a link to the Vipassana Global site, and you can find a centre nearby you if you're at all interested. My life is so much better for having meditation in it, and it's a daily practice now. It took a while to get into it, but I do it every day now. And the benefits are I'm happier, more content, I'm more compassionate to people around me, and the bonus is I get more life. I've already had an entire year so far this year.